The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight, the final words there of verse number 34 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. But it simply says, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now such is the difference in people's thinking that there are certain things that people rejoice in, while at the same time, regarding those same things, there are certain people who treat them with disdain and find no delight or joy in them. And that is especially so in spiritual matters and when we come to the things of God. Yes, there are things that God Himself delights in. Whereas there are those same things, and it can be said that sinful man has no delight in those same things whatsoever. Indeed, the Bible tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of God. And we have an example of this very fact in our Bible reading here this evening. For we see, yes, that God was one who delighted in the faithful ministry of His servant John the Baptist. And Christ here makes mention of this in verse 28 of the chapter, where He speaks of John the Baptist and He says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater than John the Baptist." Also, God Himself was one who delighted in the ministry of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, three times from heaven, God spoke regarding His Son and His ministry here on earth. And He said, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." But despite this delight by God, there were certain Jewish leaders in our Savior's day, and they had no delight in the ministry of John the Baptist, and they had no delight in the ministry of Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, such was the case that they despised and they rejected their ministries. The ministry both of John the Baptist and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the sinless Son of God. And Christ mentions these very people, you'll see there, in verse number 31 of the chapter. For He asks this question regarding these people. He says, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like?" And He answers that question in the very next verse, verse 32, by describing them there and likening them unto sullen children. In other words, children who can never be pleased. For He says in verse 32, "They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, 'We have piped unto you and you have not danced, and we have mourned to you and you have not wept.'" And my, such was their disdain of John the Baptist, that these people, they said that he was devil possessed. And you see that in verse number 33, for it says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and ye say, he have a devil." They said that he was devil-possessed. And this was not the case. This was far from the case. But John the Baptist, the Bible tells us, was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And then such was their contempt for the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that they pour insult upon the sinless Son of God. Look at verse 34 of the chapter. It says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." It is a fact, yes, that Christ during His earthly ministry here was more free and affable with the people, whereas John the Baptist may have been more reserved. But here, such is their rejection of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that they pour insult upon Him. And as far as these religious leaders were concerned, they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was wrong in His association with publicans and sinners. Hence they say, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Well, we must say tonight that these Pharisees and these lawyers, they were wrong. They were wrong in their thinking. They completely misunderstood the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. They completely misunderstood
the purpose of Christ's mission here on earth. For as far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, the soul of a publican was as valuable as the soul of a prince, or the soul of some religious leader in society. Hence, during the Lord's ministry here on earth, his identification, his association with publicans and sinners. And people, can I say to one and all tonight, this is the glorious message of the Church of Christ, and it is the glorious message that the Church of Christ is to proclaim right to the very end of time, to the end of the world. And it is this very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, is indeed the friend of publicans and sinners. Indeed, it is this very same message that the Bible tells us that it is the eternal admiration of the angels of heaven. For the Bible speaks of these things and says the angels in 1 Peter says they desire to look into these things. This is something that is taken up in the minds of the angels in heaven forevermore, that Christ is indeed the friend of publicans and sinners. And people in our gospel meeting tonight, it is this same great truth that I want us to look at. You see, God is one, yes, who causes the wrath of man to praise him. And although these words here in our text, they were spoken by certain Jews who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and really they had no time for the ministry of Christ, no time for the ministry of John the Baptist, yet nonetheless, these very same words, they remind us of the glorious truth, the greatest truth in all the world, that Jesus Christ is indeed the sinner's friend. Yes, these words, they highlight the most important relationship and friendship that anyone can have in this life is to know the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, as we would consider then these words tonight, a friend of publicans and sinners, as we think about them, I want us just to look at the scriptural evidence, the evidence that is found and given in the Scriptures, that Christ is indeed and Christ is truly the sinner's friend. I wonder tonight, is he your friend in this meeting tonight? First of all, we can say that Christ proves his friendship to sinners in his dealings with men. Yes, Christ's dealings with men, his dealings, they prove that he is indeed the sinner's friend. Yes, when we think about man, yes, man, because of his sinful fallen nature, man naturally tends to befriend those who are his equal or those who are his superior. Yes, man is one who naturally thinks that he's better than his neighbor and says, I am holier than thou. And if we're all honest tonight, I'm sure that is something that has often been in our own hearts and minds as we've looked at others in society, others that we've rubbed shoulders with in life. This is not the way that Christ deals with men and with mankind. You see, our text says that he is the friend of publicans and sinners. I want you to think about that word publican. In Bible times, a publican was a person who was appointed by the Romans to collect taxes of the Jews. Many of them themselves were guilty of extortion, of feathering their own nests. And they were detested. They were hated by the Jewish people. The Jews considered the publicans to be worse than the very dogs of the street. Yet the Bible shows us that Christ, he befriended such. Why? Because he longed to bless such. And he longed to save such. Think of his meeting together in Luke chapter 19 with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The Lord Jesus Christ met him in Jericho, the very city of the curse. And he spoke to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today must I abide at thy house. Why did Christ say those words to Zacchaeus, the publican, the tax collector? Because he wanted to bless him. He wanted to save him. And you think also of that word sinner there that is found in our text. In this very context here, it is used to depict someone who is living far, far down in the vice of sin. And by such, yes, they are detested by society, but not so with Christ. Why? Because Christ, He longs to bless such. He longs to save such.
If you read on past our text this evening, down in the latter part of this very same chapter, you read there of a particular woman, and she anointed the feet of Jesus with the ointment from the alabaster box. She shed tears upon the feet of Christ. And then she wipes the Savior's feet with the very hair of her head. And then she anoints His feet with this precious ointment, this alabaster ointment. And it's very interesting to note that twice over here she's described as a sinner. Look at verse number 37 of the chapter. It says, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." Again, you see the same emphasis in verse 39 of the chapter. It says, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man," that's the Lord Jesus, "if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is, the touch of him, for she is a sinner." Yet you ask yourself the question, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do with this woman? What did He do for this woman? Go on down to the end of the chapter and you'll see that He blessed her and that He saved her. Look at what He says to her in verse 48 of the chapter. He says, "Thy sins are forgiven." Verse number 50, at the end of the verse, He says, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Men and women, young people in our meeting tonight, such is the friendship of Christ. That Christ, He delights to bless, and He delights to save those who do not merit one iota of God's favor. Are God's blessing. Christ Himself says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting tonight, and you consider yourself to be a deep-dyed sinner before Almighty God. You think, yes, that you are unworthy of the very least of God's mercies, the very least of God's blessings. Maybe there's others in society and they have little time for you. Maybe like David, you have said in your heart, "No man careth for my soul." And I want to tell you tonight about one who does care for you. One who does love you. And who is that one? That one is God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is spoken of in our text tonight as the friend of publicans and sinners. And I tell you this, words, the words of the preacher, the words of men multiplied together cannot describe, cannot fathom the love and the care of the Lord Jesus Christ for lost, guilty sinners before Him. Well, such was this love that Christ showed to His people, that the spouse in the Song of Solomon, she speaks of that love and she says this about Christ. She says, "Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend." And friend, in our meeting tonight, such is the love of Christ. Such is the concern and the care of Christ for you, for your soul, for your spiritual well-being, that He longs to bless you. He longs to save your soul and to save you from sin. And we see this truth all throughout the Scriptures. The dealings of Christ with sinful men. That shows the wonderful love of Christ, that He is indeed the sinner's friend. But then secondly tonight, we can say further that the condition of sinful man highlights the need and also the reality of Christ's friendship. You look again at our text, it is spoken of Christ and He is described as a friend of publicans and sinners. And that word sinner there is also a term that applies to all mankind. You see, sin is a disease that affects the hearts of us all. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
The Bible speaks of the human heart and says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My David could say these words in Psalm 51. He could say, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Every single one of us in the gathering tonight, we all have inherited a sinful nature. Through the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, who ate the forbidden fruit. And that sinful nature means that we all are guilty of breaking God's holy law, His holy commandments, in thought and word and deed. There's not one of us in the meeting tonight can say and put up our hand that we have perfectly kept the law of God. Not one. Turn in your Bible over there to Romans chapter number 3. Look at what it says, and this is a fundamental truth that is echoed time after time in the Scriptures. Romans chapter 3, look at verses 10 to 12 of the chapter. And here Paul is quoting from the Scriptures, and he says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." And all the world, all mankind, is guilty of sin before the holy God of heaven. We're all sinners by nature and by practice. And sin brings upon us the curse of God. Sin brings upon us the judgment of God. Sin is a serious thing. It's a terrible thing. The Bible says, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And this curse means separation from God. It means, yes, the very sentence of death from God Himself has been passed upon us. And upon all mankind, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. As well as physical death, that sentence means eternal punishment of our soul and body in hell because of our sins. The Bible says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." The Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And by nature, by virtue of our sin, by nature and practice, all of us are poor, lost sinners before Almighty God, under the sentence of divine condemnation, on our way to a lost eternity and hell itself. And in light of that solemn, terrible fact, you and I, every single one of us in the meeting tonight, we all need an Almighty friend. A friend who can save us from the awful defilement and the awful ruin of our sin. Our predicament necessitates an Almighty friend to deliver us from our sin. Who is that friend? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You remember the words of the angel to Joseph, announcing the coming of Christ into this world. The angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." And people, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is an almighty friend that can deliver you and I from our sins and the awful ruin and defilement of our sins. And can I say this? He is the only friend who can deliver us from our lost, sinful condition. The Bible speaks to you and I of Christ and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He is the only friend that can do helpless and hopeless sinners good. Just as a sick person needs a doctor, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the great friend who has come to deliver you and I from the awful ruin and the awful debt of our sin before God. Christ spoke of that very fact in Luke 19 when he said of himself, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost."
Christ's dealings with us show His friendship to the sinner. Our need as sinners highlights the friendship of Christ and the need of His friendship. But thirdly, tonight we can say further from the Scriptures that the mission of Christ Himself, it proves to us that He is indeed the sinner's friend. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Christ came to this earth for this very fact, to save sinners. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. And look with me, please, there at verse number 18. And there Christ is speaking about His own mission here on earth, what He came to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the mission of Christ. And He accomplished this mission. How? By assuming man's nature, with the exception of sin. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came as God manifest in the flesh, and as the God-man, Christ Jesus, He became the sinner's surety." What do we mean when we call Him the sinner's surety? In other words, He took on the responsibility for our salvation and for our deliverance from sin. And how did He do that? How did He accomplish that as our surety? He accomplished that by His substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary, when He endured in full the penalty of sin for all of God's people. Oh, listen to how Isaiah puts it in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 6. He says these words of Christ regarding Christ. He says, "Surely He have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. The Lord have laid on Him the iniquity of us all." In other words, Christ took upon Himself the judgment that we all deserve for our sins. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" He suffered, He bled and died, He gave up the ghost. And then He was buried and He rose again the third day, alive forevermore, never to die again. And that proves to us how God the Father accepted His sacrifice as being sufficient to save and redeem poor sinners. The Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." And it is by the sacrifice as our surety that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided and has made a way of salvation from sin for sinners like you and I, and such a salvation is all due to His wonderful love for us, His wonderful love as the sinner's friend. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul. He spoke of Christ, and he said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." The hymn writer says, "Oh, can it be upon a tree? The Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled. My heart is filled to think He died for me." Her sister earlier on was singing of Christ dying for her upon the cross of Calvary. Dear friend, tonight in our gospel meeting, the gospel is this, that when you come as a repentant sinner to Christ and confess your sin to Him and trust in His blood alone to blot out your sin, then God will pardon all your sin. God will save your soul from a lost eternity. And my, He will bestow upon you eternal life and a home in heaven. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We looked at this verse last week in our prayer meeting. And it reminds us of what the Lord has done for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, when we know Him and trust Him as Savior. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. It says, "For God have not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, unsaved, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's surety who went to the cross, you can be saved from your sins. Saved tonight from your sins. Saved tonight from that broad road to a lost eternity. You can be set on the narrow way that leads to heaven, that leads to life evermore. But one final thought we want to just leave with you, proving indeed that Christ is the sinner's friend, and that is the unchanging character, and nature of Christ. He is such that He never changes. How is Christ described in Hebrews 13, verse 8? It says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever." We all change. This world is given to change every hour, every moment. But I want to tell you tonight about one who never changes. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." And His promise to every soul, whoever that person is, who trusts Him as Savior, is this. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Think of what Christ is doing at this very moment. He has ascended up into high, into heaven, and as our great High Priest, He prays for all who trust Him. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And in heaven, my Christ is one, yes, He pleads the merits of His blood. He pleads the merit of His righteousness before God on the behalf of all those who trust Him. Therefore, when you trust Him as Savior, your salvation can never be taken away. Your salvation can never be disannulled or dissolved, so to speak. Why? Because Christ, our great High Priest, is praying, pleading the merits of His blood, His perfect righteousness as our great High Priest in heaven. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 12 and says that Christ's blood, it says, it speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood cries out for vengeance and for judgment upon the sinner. But the blood of Christ, the incorruptible, sinless blood of Christ, it cries out for mercy. It cries out for pardon and for salvation. And then by His ministry as our great High Priest, as the unchanging Savior, He gives us grace. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us live the Christian life and serve Him here on earth. The Bible says the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, listen to how the Apostle recounts the help of the Lord in his life. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he writes these words. He says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." Friend, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, He will never, never leave you, nor forsake you. He changes not. Thus you'll be able to say day by day in all the trials and all the battles of life, that the Lord is my helper. Praise God when you trust Christ as Savior. I tell you this tonight, He is a friend indeed. A friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Through His blood you can know your sins forgiven. Through His grace you can know grace to live the Christian life. Because He died and rose again, ascended on high, you can be sure of heaven, sure of glory one day. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, come to this friend. Come and trust Him. Confess your sins to Him tonight. And know the wonderful blessing and joy of sins forgiven. And the joy of God's salvation in your heart and in your soul. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing to